This podcast has been produced independently of PMB and has not been reviewed by PMB or the FDA. No claims of healing, treating, or diagnosing any disease or illness are being made. Individual experiences with hemp oil are personal. Your results will vary. This podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only and should not be construed as medical or legal advice.
Coming up in this episode of Behind the Smoke Screen, we'll talk about what is CBD and what does it do for you? What is CBG, which most people haven't even heard of, and what does it do for you? And almost probably more importantly, at the end, listen to hear what you need to know in order to make sure what you have in your hand is a quality hemp oil product.
Hemp, misunderstood and misrepresented. The federal government has deregulated hemp on a scale not seen since the end of prohibition in the 1930s. Join our host, Kendall Peterson, as we clear the smokescreen of confusion. This is Hemp Behind the Smokescreen.
Hello, and welcome to episode 421 of Behind the Smokescreen. I'm your host, Kendall Peterson, and today we'll be talking about CBD and CBG. Most people are not familiar with CBG yet. They're seeing CBD signs all over the place. And, you know, questions about, is it legal? How is it legal? Why is it legal? How does it work? What is it? Those sorts of things. We're going to go through those. So I'd like to thank our sponsors, lovemyhempoil.com. If you have any questions you'd like us to address, if you will send an email to wellnessgroup@gmx.com. That's wellnessgroup@g as in golf, m as in Mike, x as in x-ray.com. wellnessgroup@gmx.com. Now, let's move on. So, how is this legal? What's going on with this? It's kind of up in the air. Less than 2% of the people have even tried CBD. So, let's kind of give you sort of an overview. In 2014, President Obama signed the Agriculture Act, the Farm Bill, and that allowed Section 7606 allowed universities, state departments of agriculture, and other research groups to begin cultivating industrial hemp for limited purposes. And if you could get a hold of these research, this research hemp, then you could do some really cool stuff with it. Some of my business partners foresaw what was going on, and in 2016 started networking with these groups, with the researchers, with the universities and some of the labs. And we were actually able to, in 2017, put out a product ahead of everybody else for the most part. And so it was actually a really cool, that was being able to foresee what was coming. Now, what happened then in 2018 was we had the Farm Bill that went ahead and legalized industrial hemp nationwide, opened it up, and allowed states to decide how they wanted to regulate it or not. And that has really changed the way things are growing. So the umbrella question is, you know, is it legal? Yes, industrial hemp is legal. It's up to the states to decide how they want to regulate, how they want to run it, how they want to do that sort of thing. Most states actually define the difference between hemp and marijuana is by the concentration of THC in it. And that's the compound that gets you high, the psychoactive compound. And so if it has less than 0.3% THC, most states classify that as hemp as opposed to marijuana, even though it's the same cannabis sativa plant. Now, West Virginia, they're actually a little more loose with it. Their definition is 1% THC or less. So at least 34 states have passed legislative action in relation to industrial hemp. Big debates going on right now. April 5th, 2019 in Texas, hemp and CBD got taken off of the Schedule 1 list of narcotics for the state of Texas. So technically it became legal in Texas. At that point, the state health department had actually said if it was below the federal legal level, which was designated in 2014, it was legal. But what you had was you had rogue DAs and sheriff's departments that use this as a revenue generator. And so they were still prosecuting people, even though they had, I mean, they were taking like, you know, $50,000, $80,000 worth of stock from stores and that sort of thing, basically stealing from them, even though these were legal. And they were saying, well, federal law says, and it's not legal in Texas. And what it comes down to is it was legal. So the Texas Department of Health had to make a clarification that said, look, this is legal. And some of the DAs said, we don't care what you say. So the state legislator changed the law. That was a great thing for them to do. So you've got almost 40 states and Puerto Rico that, if they haven't put out legislation on industrial hemp, they're considering it. And they're ranging anywhere from clarifying existing laws to establishing brand new licensing requirements. You've got, in 2017, Arkansas, Colorado, Florida, Hawaii, North Dakota, Nevada, New York, Oregon, South Carolina, Tennessee, Virginia, Washington State, West Virginia, Wisconsin, and Wyoming all put out research and pilot projects in order to facilitate the use of industrial hemp in their states. It's great that we're moving on in those directions. And so you've got some, you know, Colorado has industrial hemp research grant project programs, and it allows it puts money aside for universities to do research. You've got Kentucky with a great product and program. And so what you've got is really cool, because now we've got people, you know, even though, let's say, okay, so to comply with some of these state regulations for commercial and research programs, in a lot of these states, they're saying you have to pass a criminal background check. There are periodic renews of the license. There's registering with GPS coordinates on the growing sites. There's record keeping and reporting that goes with this. And all of that's logical, because it's funny, because the theory is that, well, we don't want you hiding any marijuana plants in these hemp plants. And what you don't understand is, when you've got high CBD, low THC plants, if you're anywhere within 5 miles of high THC marijuana plants, they cross-pollinate, and the CBD plants actually minimize the effectiveness of the THC in those other plants. So you would not want to put, let's say you had a 10-acre plot, you would not want to hide, you know, 2 or 3 acres of marijuana in the middle of this 10-acre hemp farm, because what you would be doing is basically cutting your own throat, because the cross-pollination that would naturally happen would cause your THC to drop, and that would make your customers mad, I guess. So it's nice that states are taking independent action to regulate the industry. Up until the 2018 Farm Bill, we could do things with hemp seeds in the U.S. We could do things with hemp fibers, with the products of the plants. For the most part, unless you were part of a research project, though, you couldn't grow the plant in the U.S. You could pretty much do almost a, you could ship the plant in and process it and do all that stuff, but you couldn't actually grow the plant until the 2018 Farm Bill, unless you were part of one of those research projects that was designated under the 2014 Farm Bill. This really opens things up. So if the question is it legal? Of course it's legal. You've got California, Indiana, Maine, Oregon, all doing stuff. Kind of one of the interesting things that we're seeing now is, because there's a glut in Oregon of marijuana product, the people who have the licenses and the permits to grow marijuana are actually now shifting and asking if they can change those permits, pay the fees, whatever goes along with that, in order to grow industrial hemp. And because there's so many more opportunities, there's so many more things that can be done with the hemp plant than can be done with a marijuana plant. Once again, if you've got questions, wellnessgroup@gmx.com. So let's talk about the CBD and what it is. And then we'll move on to CBG. So CBD, cannabidiol, it's one of the most prevalent chemical compounds in the cannabis plant. Okay, so, but unlike THC, it doesn't get you high or euphoric. That means it's non-psychoactive. And the CBD has amazing health benefits then without the intoxication. The issue has been that for decades, because of the emphasis on the psychoactive effect of cannabis, CBD's really been largely overlooked until recently. And it's funny because now you drive down the street and you see feather banners in front of places we have CBD. You've got fast food chains that are adding CBD to their product. It's not enough to really do anything. It probably actually burns out when you cook the product itself. But it's they're jumping on this bandwagon, and it's funny because we were saying, you know, we were building our empire before most of these people were even thought about building their bandwagon. So let's talk about some, what have we found out in the last few decades about CBD? It's anti-inflammatory. It's one of the best anti-inflammatories out there. It's antioxidant. It's a neuroprotectant. It's anxiolytic, which I had to look up, but it means it's anti-anxiety. It helps with as an antidepressant. It's an analgesic. That's what Tylenol is. That's what acetaminophen is. It's an analgesic. This is a natural one. It's antipsychotic. And so whether we're talking about hemp-derived CBD or whether we're talking about medical marijuana, we remember the cannabis plant is the origin. Now, as I've said before in other podcasts, we're not going to go into the medical marijuana realm here. We're specifically talking about the cannabis sativa plant with 0 to 0.3% THC, because that's the fight we're fighting. The cool thing is that this plant has so many benefits that are so far reaching and beneficial to people who are all ages, different lifestyles. You've got pain management for sports injuries or people with arthritis or other circumstances. You've got athletes and gym goers who are wanting to improve on their health. People who are over 50 who want to stay healthy and active, who want to mitigate signs of aging. You've got people who, we'll go through some of the other things that, but just general health, and we'll talk about why this is important in a little while. Also, at the end of the podcast, listen closely because we'll be giving you a list of what to look for high quality hemp oil, because there's a lot of junk out there too. So stay tuned for that. So how does CBD work? You have to first understand that we have an endocannabinoid system, okay? Endo means inside us. Cannabinoid is these chemical compounds. And it regulates and balances our other internal systems. And that was something that I didn't realize in the beginning, because they say, oh, it helps maintain balance in your body. No, the endocannabinoid system is responsible for balance in your body. So we don't teach this in the mainstream educational systems when we talk about cardiovascular systems, when we talk about our muscular skeletal systems, those sorts of things, because it was just discovered in 1994. Because the cannabis plant had that taboo with it, there wasn't a lot of research dollars for it, and that has really changed. There are 80 different chemical compounds known as cannabinoids. There's all different kinds of different beneficial compounds inside this plant. It's actually pretty amazing, and the hemp seeds are considered a perfect protein. They've got all 9 amino acids. They've got omega-3s. They've got omega-6s. One thing to notice, though, if your oil says it comes from, if it's hemp seed oil as opposed to hemp oil or CBD oil, if it's hemp seed oil, there is no CBD in a hemp seed. So something to keep in mind as you're going through this. So the cannabinoids are called agonists, and you've heard of antagonists, right? Okay, well, these are agonists, and they bind to special receptors that we have in our body, the CB receptors, cannabinoid receptors. We have CB1 and CB2 receptors. So if you think of the agonists as keys and the CB receptors as locks, by consuming these products from the cannabis plant, you're taking in agonists that interact with the different locks on the cells in your body. And what this does is these cell receptors make up this larger endocannabinoid system. And certain receptors are heavily concentrated in the nervous system. others, but there's cannabinoid receptors found in almost every organ of the body. And that's one of the interesting things. It's in our skin, it's our digestive tract, even in reproductive organs. And so with this vast network of cell receptor proteins that affect so many of our functions, we're talking mood, memory, motor control, immune function, reproduction, pain perception, appetite, sleep, development, all of these things. The four primary purposes of the endocannabinoid system include neuroprotection, protecting the things in your brain, stress recovery, immune balance, and homeostatic regulation. That's regulating the balance in our body. That's just a fancy way of saying that. And it also helps create optimum energy balance in the body. Because the CBD taps into this balancing system and produces the therapeutic effects that we get from it, it makes our body operate the way it's supposed to. It helps our body. The CBD, the CBG, the other cannabinoids, they're not healing your body. They're letting your body work the way it's designed to. It lets you be your best you. And the body was designed as a machine to be self-healing. So what it does is, it's not the CBD or the CBG that's healing you. It's your body operating the way it's supposed to and taking care of the functions that it's supposed to and letting it operate the way that God designed it. So, and of course, we still have a lot to learn about this. What they're really learning, though, is that it will directly or indirectly affect some of these different receptors, like the vanilloid receptors, which are important for pain modulation, the serotonin receptors, which are important for mood and stress management. We've got the adenosine receptors. Those are important for sleep-wake cycles. One of the most common things we hear from people who have been taking hemp oil is that I'm having very vivid dreams. Well, that means you're going into that alpha state, that REM sleep, that really restful sleep. And your mind is able to, those dreams a lot of times are your mind just sorting through the files that are in there, cleaning things out and getting things out, and instead of bottling it all up. And if you don't remember having dreams a lot lately, or, you know, you don't wake up and you go, wow, I just had this dream where, you know, I ran into this couple from 40 years ago and we were at this gala, you know, 3 miles away. Just weird stuff like that. If you're not having dreams, then you're probably not getting into that good REM sleep. This is one of the biggest comments we get is, you know, I've been sleeping better. I've been sleeping longer. I've been feeling more rested when I wake up. And I've been having these dreams that are just far out. And sometimes you have to let those, it's part of the detox process, I guess you could say. And you have to let those dreams out. And sometimes they get really weird, but it's because they've been all bottled up and your brain is now sorting through the things that it needs to. And so it's actually a good sign. One of the things that CBD does is it helps with anandamide. Anandamide is known as the bliss molecule. They call it the human THC. It's actually produced inside our body. And it helps regulate basic functions like pleasure, reward, appetite, memory, sleep, pain. You see, all of these are interacted. You're going to see an overlap of, well, it causes this, and it helps with this, and it interacts with this. Because our bodies are not just individual functions. They're all related. They're all tied together. One of the things that CBD helps with is getting this anandamide, because there's a fatty acid that breaks anandamide down into smaller particles that keeps us from absorbing the anandamide, and CBD attaches to that and keeps that other fatty acid from breaking the anandamide down. And that was actually the Journal of Biological Chemistry in 2015 actually figured that out when they held their one of their studies. And so let's talk about CBG now. CBG is cannabigerol. It's a non-acidic cannabinoid. It's considered the mother of cannabinoids. It's like the stem cell of cannabinoids. It's actually, it's the precursor to THC and CBD. So if you hear people talk about how you have to have THC in order to get the entourage effect, and what the entourage effect is, and we'll go into that in detail in another podcast. But basically, the entourage effect is when you have a group of cannabinoids that together create a better effect than the cannabinoids individually. And so there's a whole group of people who say, well, you have to have significant amounts of THC in order to get the entourage effect. And the cool thing is, what we're learning is, if you have CBG and CBD together, and those are hard to find, there's not very many people doing it, because CBG is made in such small levels, it's extremely expensive to put in a product at any measurable levels. But what it does is, because it's the mother stem cell cannabinoid, and it breaks into THC and CBD later, it creates those two things. What we're finding out is the wellness beneficial effects you get from THC, it appears we're also getting from CBG. And there's clinical trials that are going on right now to verify that. And that would keep, you wouldn't get high from it. It doesn't show up in the test because it's not THC. It's not psychoactive. And so you're getting that entourage effect without having to have THC in there, which is a boon for people's wellness. So, as I said, it's a close relative to CBD, THC, CBC. It's found in the hemp products. It's there's almost no CBG in high THC plants because it's already made that transition. Some of the beneficial effects we've seen, again, an analgesic, it relieves pain. It's an antibacterial, it slows bacterial growth. Anti-convulsive, it helps with seizures and convulsions. Anti-inflammatory, it lowers inflammation. We all have inflammation of some kind. It's an anti-insomnia, it's a sleep aid. There are studies that are being done that show it may help inhibit cancer growth. That doesn't mean we're not talking about curing cancer, because as a disclaimer in the beginning said, we're not curing any diseases, we're not diagnosing or treating anything officially. All we're doing is educating you on how these natural products help your body do what it's supposed to. So it helps raise your mood. It's an antidepressant, it's a bone stimulant, it helps promote bone growth, it's a brain stimulate. If you could see the studies and the brain scans that I have seen on what this does to people who have brain damage from impact and different things like that, you would be amazed at what is going on in the research that's going on right now. It also, it's an appetite stimulate. It increases appetite. That doesn't mean, it's for people who are having issues with appetite issues. It doesn't mean if you're on a diet, you shouldn't take it. Like other cannabinoids, CBG has shown to include a lot of therapeutic rewards. And it looks like it plays an integral function in various wellness problems and ailments that people have. You have to remember, too, we have an endocannabinoid system. That means our bodies want these. These are nutritional supplements. These are nutritional necessities. Just like you take a vitamin supplement that has vitamin A and vitamin D and vitamin B, and you take a calcium supplement, because we know our bodies need this. Well, the same thing. Our bodies has these CB receptors, and in order to function at their optimum, we need to give them these cannabinoids in order for them to run the way they're designed to. THC, its big deal is it's an agonist for CB1 receptors, and that's what CBG does also. It helps work with the central nervous system, which might explain why it also mitigates the effects of THC. There's been assessments. Dr. Ethan Russo, which is a neuroscientist and an endocannabinoid specialist, had some really interesting things. He did research in 2010. He noticed that it's a muscle relaxant. CBG has a GABA uptake inhibition that's higher than CBD and THC, which means it's got muscle relaxant properties for discomfort. According to Russo, the discomfort relieving, the analgesic in it, the properties surpass that of THC. That it's the second most successful phytocannabinoid in fighting against the growth of breast cancer. It's also believed to be a potent agonist for possible application of prostate cancer. It's helped with people who have depression issues. I can tell you, my wife has lived with a chemical imbalance. It's a hereditary chemical imbalance, causes depression. She's been on antidepressants for 30 years. And we were having a discussion the other day. We were listening to a video where someone was talking about brain fog and how hemp oil takes the brain fog away from a lot of people. And she looked at me and she goes, I hadn't even thought about that. That was the her first immediate reaction to taking hemp oil 2 years ago was, the fog in my brain lifted and I feel like I can function fully again. It makes you be the best you that you can be. And she said, you know, I haven't even thought of brain fog in months because of the oil that I've been on. And it was a discussion that, because that's one of the things that she just decided she was going to have to live with for years and years. And that brain fog for her is gone. It's an antifungal. It kills MRSA. The resistant bacteria that are out there, they don't develop a resistance to these cannabinoids. When we treat somebody and we give them antibiotics, the antibiotics that we give them attacks the cells in one way and they build up that resistance. But the cannabinoids, when they attack bacteria, they come in through, like, let's say a back door as a good analogy. They come in through a back door that doesn't build up a resistance to them. It was 2004 in the University of London figured out that it is a probably the most effective antibiotic that we have found in nature. And because it kills MRSA and it kills these resistant superbugs. And this was just, Russo confirmed that with his research. So he also expressed that it could be valuable to psoriasis because it inhibits the it inhibits something that causes psoriasis. Also, it may help with overactive bladder and bladder discomfort. That was backed up by a study in 2015 that suggested that by testing the effects of CBG and other cannabinoids on bladder dysfunction, they were able to actually reduce bladder contractions, which for some people is a huge deal. You know, you see ads on TV these days of overactive bladder and, you know, is your bladder really running your life? And information I really didn't need to know. Probably too much information right there. One of the things that Russo also expressed is that CBG probably operates in synergy with other cannabis compounds, other terpenes. And we're going to go into those terpenes in another podcast, but there's a lot of products out there that don't even look at those terpenes. They're using CBD isolates. And when you isolate the CBD from the other compounds, what you're doing is you're losing a lot of the beneficial effects of it. So, you know, we're looking, there was a 2016 study on the neuroprotective properties of CBG and with Huntington's illness, and that causes a progressive breakdown of nerve cells in the brain, and it was found to be extremely active as a neuroprotectant. One of the things you have to understand too is the Department of Health and Human Services actually owns the patent for CBD for medical use. So when I'm talking about these, I'm talking about this as a nutritional supplement, as a food supplement, because any medical claims or any medical uses officially have to actually be licensed from the Department of Health and Human Services. Now, what we've had is sort of a dichotomy. We've got, at one point, they were trying to keep this illegal. It's been illegal for 70 years or so. And because they were saying there was no beneficial effect. And yet, the government themselves, Department of Health and Human Services, had the patent on the medical use for them, and they've been licensing it out. And one of the things it's been doing is they've been licensing this out to companies that then sit on it for certain uses. And it's like, okay, and they actually went after some companies, some CBD companies, because they were making medical claims on their websites. And that was that's a big no-no. And I could go on. There's a 2007 study that found that CBG, along with some other cannabinoids, can stimulate bone marrow development by using the CB2 receptor. So could it possibly help heal bone fractures, help your body compensate and heal bone fractures in a better way? That there's, you know, research going on in that. This all started in 1990 when they were trying to figure out the effects of CBG and THC on glaucoma. And that's when you started seeing research for it. That's why in 94, we discovered the endocannabinoid system. What sort of things have we seen CBG helping with? We've seen people get results who have glaucoma, inflammatory bowel disease, anti-inflammatory disorders, epilepsy, chronic pain, depression, osteoporosis, insomnia, Huntington's disease. We've seen, you know, people with resistant microbial strains like MRSA get good effects. Low appetite that come from like chemotherapy and other treatments. Bladder dysfunction, psoriasis, all of these things, and research is still ongoing. In fact, like I said, I know of 5 clinical trials that are going on here in Houston for these things. Are there any side effects? No, not when they're taken in therapeutic doses. Okay, so don't take, you know, one, you're not going to find a concentration of CBG that's high enough to really be detrimental to you. If you did an eighth of a teaspoon, let's say you did an eighth of a teaspoon, the 11 tablespoons of it would be a dangerous dose. An eighth of a teaspoon would be a normal dose. And when it's in some sort of delivery device to you, whether it's drops or whether it's a spray or whether it's whatever, you're not getting anywhere near a dangerous dose. So that's something that you don't really have to worry about, unless, you know, you're drinking a cup of it or something like that. So we can basically say that CBG has no bad effect on it. What do you look for when you're looking for a product? Because that's a big question that I get from people. How do I know what to look for? Well, because every mom and pop stand is putting up signs, CBD. I saw 3 the other day, and one of them has 2 locations and a really cool logo. And a lot of these are head shops, and some of these are herbalists and different things like that. But first of all, you need to look at manufacturing, because a lot of these people are getting their stuff from Colorado, literally from some guy who does it in his garage or his greenhouse or whatever. And so that's, you know, you can buy fancy labels and you can do whatever. Realistically, what you want is an FDA compliant lab. I think that's important. If you've got companies selling at like ridiculously low prices, they're probably using cheap methods of extracting their oil. That a lot of times, wow, what we've really seen is people using toxic solvents that are dangerous to your health, like propane, butane, and other ones like that. It's crazy that they're doing that. There's actually like 2 or 3 other hydrocarbon gases that they use in petroleum that people use to extract these compounds from the plants. You want organic. You want pharmaceutical grade processes. Like I said, we use the ones that use an FDA compliant lab. It's interesting that the ethanol, pharmaceutical grade ethanol process is essentially using grain alcohol, which is used to remove unneeded toxins and residues from the basic hemp plant. And this method of extraction is actually considered to be the extraction process that yields the highest amount of cannabinoids among the different refinement processes. And so you've got CO2 supercritical extraction, which is also good, but it uses carbon dioxide under high pressure in an extremely cold environment. That's a very complex refinement process. And it doesn't necessarily yield the highest amount of the cannabinoids. Some of them get lost as you do that. Before purchasing any CBD oil, any hemp oil, research the vendor's production methods. And usually information can be found on their website. Ideally, you'd want somebody who uses a whole plant ethanol extraction process, because that's going to get you the most cannabinoids, and then that they remove the ethanol then so that it's ethanol free. And the reason for that is because people have actually said, well, I'm a recovering alcoholic. I don't take anything with alcohol in it. And so this alleviates that problem for them. Most of this information should be able to be found on a company's website, or I guess with talking one of their customer service reps. A lot of times, and then they should have their certificates of analysis available on their websites also. What about growing it? The source of your CBD matters. The source of your hemp matters, because the best way to ensure a high quality is to use high quality materials. That's really important with hemp oil, because it's a hyper accumulator. That means the hemp plant absorbs anything that's present in the ground where it was cultivated. It cleans out. That was one of the things we talked about on another podcast, where the cotton farmers want to be able to rotate hemp through their cotton fields because it pulls out toxins that are in that field. And so, if you're using it for paper, to make plastics, to use hempcrete, to make clothes out of it, those sorts of things, it really doesn't matter that it's an organic hemp. But if you're using it as a nutritional supplement because you're putting it in your body, you really want it to come from an organic source. You want it to be, with no GMOs. You want it to be with none of the pesticides, all of those things. You don't want it to be absorbing heavy metals like mercury and lead, and because that would then come into human consumption, and you don't want to be giving it to your child or anything like that too. A lot of manufacturers choose low quality hemp to process as oil, so they're polluted with heavy materials. So look where they're sourcing this. Try to find U.S. grown hemp, because U.S. farmers are required to be certified by state departments of agriculture, and that can be found on their website too. Also, check the amount of THC present in it. That varies. That's on their certificate of analysis. And I prefer the ones that say broad spectrum zero THC, because that way you're not going to test positive for a job or for any of those things. And the likelihood of testing positive is low anyway, but you really don't want to take that chance. And I have friends, because I have friends in the trucking industry, in the airplane industry, pilots and mechanics and truck drivers and different, people with athletes and people with security clearances because they're in the military or they work with the government, who are all saying, if we test positive for THC, there's no second chance. You're fired that moment. And so the best one to look for is one that has zero THC content in it at all, just so that you don't take that chance. Check for whole plant or broad spectrum. Again, because if it says full spectrum, it means there is THC in there. If it's broad spectrum, it's whole plant, but it doesn't have THC in it. Good quality CBD is manufactured using the whole plant. yeah, isolates are becoming really popular, but that's where the cheaper material comes from. Because, and here's the deal. Effective hemp oil isn't cheap. Cheap hemp oil isn't really all that effective. And so that's one of the things you need to remember. You want whole plant and the broad spectrum because you want those terpenes, you want those other cannabinoids that work synergistically, give you that entourage effect. You know, look for the labels to determine if they use whole plant in their products. Check out their website, that sort of thing. Don't just go into the local smoke shop, you know, the local vape shop and go, hey, let me have some of that on the, $30. Yeah, let me have that off the shelf. And back to then certificates of analysis. You want a third-party lab result before buying your hemp oil. The highest quality brands always have third-party lab results. And there are some who, there's very few. I can name like two brands out there that have high enough quality labs where they can do their own analysis. And that's the deal is there are some people who don't have any certificates of analysis. They're not even being looked at by third parties. But there's very few labs that have good enough equipment to do their own measuring. But even those labs, even those products are using third party certificates of analysis in order to validate what they say. So a reputable brand of hemp oil will always have recent lab results available for their batches. And most of them provide them on their website. Some of them include them in the packaging. Some of them will do both. And that's something really important to know. This, you actually know what you're putting into your body. So CBD, CBG, hemp oil is growing in popularity every day. At this point, less than 2% of the population has tried it. I'd like to thank our sponsors, lovemyhempoil.com. Like I said, if you want to email me with questions, you can email at wellnessgroup@gmx.com. That's wellnessgroup@gmx.com. This is episode 421 of Behind the Smoke Screen, and this is a wrap.